Hey everyone, I'm Brielle.
And I'm Michelle, and together we're the Wine Pro and the Wino.
Each week we'll chat about wine and break it down to make it more relatable and easier to understand.
And we'll do it all with glasses in hand, so you know the pressure's off.
I'm the Wine Pro. I regularly teach wine classes and started my own wine consulting business, Viva La Vino, in 2017.
And I'm Michelle, the Wino. I love drinking wine and learning about it. So whether you're a Wino like me or a Wine Pro like Brielle, you're welcome here.
We share a common goal, to bring people together through wine.
So pour yourself a glass and let's get started. That was pretty solid.
I think that was pretty good.
Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Wine Pro and the Wino. I'm Brielle of Viva La Vino, and I'm here with my co-host Michelle. Hi Michelle.
Hi Brielle, how are you?
I'm great. I am so excited to talk to you today because this is one of my favorite topics.
I think that this has a special place in your heart, and because you have such a passion with it, it has become special in my heart as well.
I appreciate that, and I do think it's funny that this has become a passion of mine, because if you had asked me, what are you passionate about in the wine world? I don't know if I would have told you this exactly, but before we keep everybody guessing for too much longer, what is today's central question?
The question is there a difference between wine in different mediums? So for example, a box, a bottle, a can, is the wine different?
It's a great question. We're going to dive into it today. And we have to start by saying thank you to our friends at Bridge Lane, who have gifted us a trifecta of their white Merlot, some in a can, some in a bottle, and some in a box. And
the ultimate trifecta.
The ultimate trifecta. And we recently had the opportunity to try all three side by side by side on episode 50 of 50? my Instagram series, Canned Wine Wednesday. So we'll add a link here so that you can go and check out that episode and watch us get progressively drunker as it goes on, because we were tasting a lot of wine. But today we're going to talk about the kind of background behind it, the difference or non-differences, and the pros and cons of each of the different packaging styles. So Michelle, start us off. What is your preferred wine medium, and what experience do you have with the others?
So I'd say, obviously, my preferred medium is that of a bottle, because that's generally what people drink wine out of. However, back in my day, I was known to dabble in in a box, but
are
that
you
was
gonna
also
say that you used to slap the bag, Michelle?
I think that is a critical part of people's college experience, and yes, that may or may not have happened, but yeah. I am far past my Franzia stage, and here I am enjoying quality boxed wine. But also with cans, my first can experience was actually at Bridge Lane, who had gifted us this wine, which is very full circle in a sense, and I enjoyed a bunch of their canned wines. I actually brought back their sparkling canned wine, which is by far my favorite canned sparkling wine, which we discussed in the Canned Wine Wednesday. And so I am very open to all different mediums of wine.
You are wine medium curious. I like it. I like it. I've been drinking canned wine only for about a year, maybe a year and a half by now. And I started the series Canned Wine Wednesday because I really thought there were probably 8 different cans and I'd get the opportunity to try them and they would all probably not be so good. And that would be just a fun way to pass the time in the midst of the pandemic, drinking canned wine with friends on the internet. And little did I know that canned wines are all over the place and consistently growing that segment of the industry. So there's more and more cans than ever before. And canned wine is not what it used to be. It is really, really quality stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think a little bit of what we'll talk about today is why cans have emerged and why they continue to grow, or why the numbers continue to grow. And then boxed wine, which I haven't really done a lot of boxed wine in my life, but I think it's the next frontier for me. I think that's going
to
be
that's a great frontier to discover.
Yeah. I'm really excited. There are some new and exciting boxed wines that I'm seeing all over the internet and in stores when I go shopping. And I think it's about time that I take the plunge. And this was a great place to start.
I agree. I think that this wine specifically was just so phenomenal. And getting the opportunity to taste the three of them side by side really shows you the quality of each of the different types, the vessels, if you will, of the wine.
Vessels, for sure. Okay, so let's give a little bit of details for those who have not yet watched the Canned Wine Wednesday episode. We were fortunate to try the White Merlot, which we're going to break that down in a whole different episode.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot.
I know, but basically it's a white wine made from black grapes, so no skin contact. So that was my most exciting or most anticipated wine from Bridge Lane to try. Mm-hmm. They do six different wines, and I think what's so unique about their business model is they put each of their six wines in each of these four vessels. So a box, a mm-hmm. bottle, a can, and then a keg, which a keg. I only wish you and I had kegerators at home that we could have tried side by side, by side by side, all of them.
We'd be drinking White Merlot for years.
I would be, and I probably still will be. That stuff was awesome.
Mm-hmm. I could not agree more. It was phenomenal, and it's definitely something that I'll continue to buy in the future.
Oh, yeah, that had the potential to be awesome or awful. And mm-hmm. I'm very, very thankful, thanks to all the wine that we had in front of us, to say that it was awesome. The bottle was gone by the end of the evening. And we actually brought the box to our next door neighbor's house so they could try it. And they asked if they could keep it. So,
oh, how funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so fun. So it was like I went from having all of this White Merlot from Bridge Lane to having none left because it went so fast. Everyone was so interested in it.
That's really funny. And I mean, I definitely still have it in my fridge and I will have it for a while. What's great is that it does last for 30 days. So I really appreciated that. But I also wanted to talk about like, there's different scenarios where you can utilize each of them, right? So what I love about the canned wine is that the canned wine is that it is a perfect single serving. So a can is a third of a bottle, and it's like you pop it in the fridge at the beginning of the day, and then at the end of the day, I'm just thinking for like, if I go to work, I'll put it in there and then I have a treat to look forward to when I get home. But I think what's so nice about it is that if you live alone or if your partner doesn't drink or if you just don't want to like accidentally have an entire bottle, like, because that could very well happen. So
yeah,
I think
totally been there and done that.
Mm-hmm, I think portion control is fantastic in that. And I really appreciate the size of the can. And then the bottle, obviously, you're sharing with people, like a couple people, just having a bottle of wine. And then if you are having a party or you're just a really big wine fan and likes copious amounts of wine, you get the box.
Yeah, I think let's talk a little bit about the sizes. And I think you were right on point there. So the can is 250 milliliters. Those are these slim cans that you see everywhere. Some canned wine producers put them in 375 milliliter cans. So that's the similar to a soda can. That's half mm-hmm. a bottle. It doesn't look like it, but it is.
It does.
These cans from Bridge Lane are a third of a bottle. So three of them are equal to one bottle. I think that's just the right amount of wine for me. I always want about a glass and a half. And that's what a can ends up being for me. And just like you said, cans are really convenient if you're alone. They're also, at least in my experience, really convenient if I want something and my husband wants something else. Mm-hmm. So if I want white wine and he wants red wine, we're not opening two bottles. We're not pulling out the Coravin. We're not, you know, arguing over which one wants to open it.
Yeah.
And especially when you have friends over, it's kind of cool to have an assortment of cans and say, take what you want. Let's all try a little bit of each. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a an adventure situation, which I really love.
And you don't have to deal with glass also, which is another perk if you don't want to deal with glassware or you want to be able to just recycle them right afterwards. Like, that's a big plus. You had that at
Absolutely.
Your wedding. It was perfect.
Yeah, at our backyard wedding, we had a bunch of canned wine. And I remember my parents before the party were like, can you please get a case of red and a case of white in bottles? Because our siblings are in their 60s. There's no way your aunt is going to pick up a can of Cab Sauv and carry it around the backyard. And I legitimately caught my family members putting cans in their bag to take home.
To take home. the take home gift.
Like, what's happening? Like, these are not goodie bags. I hid some because I really wanted to keep some for later for myself in our glass cabinet, which was kind of right on top of the counter where they were sitting, the ones in my kitchen. And my mom said, oh my gosh, look, I found more. We're all out otherwise. And I was like, oh man, I really wanted to keep those, but they flew. I think cans are having a revolution nowadays. I think so.
Well, you also had that maker can, which was the Albarino, and that one was so good. And I think that people were really loving that one there.
And I actually got to help can that can. I went to the canning day. So cool. So I did absolutely nothing in terms of making that wine into wine, but I had this weird sense of pride because I got the opportunity to actually dry off the cans with a rag after they came down the canning line.
Every can needs to be dried, so you really did your part.
Yeah, you do need to avoid rust. but so then so those are some of the pros of cans. There's a couple more that I want to talk about as your resident canned wine nerd. Cans are also extremely recyclable. So they're made out of aluminum. They have a lining that prevents the wine from coming in direct contact with the aluminum of the can, so it's not warping the way it tastes or smells. But cans are almost entirely recyclable, which means you finish your wine, you put it in the recycling. Most places in the United States, if not all, recycle aluminum, and it can almost entirely be processed as opposed to having only a part of it processed and the rest discarded as waste. So
that's great.
Yeah, cans are really, really great in that sense. They're also much lighter than glass. So when you think about bottles, there are many states, and I know this from our 2-year-long road trip across the country, that there's a lot of states in the United States and other places around the world that don't recycle glass. And so your glass bottles, you either have to find a place to bring them or they go directly to a landfill, which is just so bad for the planet. They also weigh a lot more, and so the fossil fuels expended to transport them takes a lot more energy. And the third problem with bottles, I say this as I have a full wine fridge downstairs, the third problem with bottles is that they, because they're made of glass, are more fragile. So there has to be all of this artificial packing material around the bottles, even in a single case of wine, to prevent them from breaking in transport. So there's just a lot going on. Bottles have a lot of baggage. But speaking of baggage, let's talk about boxing for
what
a minute.
What a transition.
I know, I wasn't even trying for that one. I'm going to pat myself on the back there. I get a point for that. But so boxed wine is so interesting. Most often it comes in a cardboard box, but it's obviously not just a gallon of liquid thrown in cardboard. It's in a bag. And interestingly, because I'm a nerd, I looked this up. Boxed wine is actually created sometimes in the 50s or 60s, actually in Australia. And it used to be that the big bag still existed in the cardboard box, and you would snip off the corner of the bag to pour yourself some wine, and then you'd reseal it with this kind of plastic, or at the time I think maybe metal peg. So think if you cut off the tip of a piping bag if you were using icing or
like a frosting,
exactly. And then you'd kind of cinch it closed. The problem was every time you wanted to open it, you had to kind of recut and re-cinch. But the copyright or the patent for that was actually modeled after the way that battery acid is transported. So
that's
also kind of in a bag that in the olden days you would snip the corner off and then, you know, secure the seal. And so I'm very happy that we have moved away from transporting wine in bags the way that we transport battery acid. But now when you get a box, usually what happens is it's made of cardboard. There is a really sturdy plastic bag full of wine on the inside. There's a little perforation in the box that allows you to pull out a little plastic spigot. And then it usually kind of seals up in a way that lets you put it in your fridge if it's white, or on your counter if it's red wine and you want to keep it more room temperature. And then you just pour yourself a glass whenever you want and it self-seals.
That's so convenient. And I do think what's nice about it is that it does last for a good amount of time in the refrigerator. So for the one that we tried the other day, it's literally still in the fridge, tastes the same a week later. And it really is, it's a nice thing to have. You have random company over. Oh, hey, you want a glass of wine? I already have this chilling. That's great. Very convenient.
And it's kind of already open without being open, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's an airtight environment. So to your point, it can last a month. Sometimes the boxes will even say 6 weeks, which is just a long time. So to your point earlier about even cans being great for single people or people who live alone or are the sole drinker in their home, you can also avoid opening a bottle and then having it go to waste, because a lot of people say that a bottle of wine really only lasts 3 to 4 days. It's totally up to personal preference, but unlike the bottle, the box or, you know, the bladder or bag of wine within the box is airtight. And so as a result, you can just pour yourself a glass of wine every night for a month, drink responsibly, but like whenever you want, and it will continue to taste just as good as the first time you opened it.
Absolutely. And what I tried last for the box wine, I did actually make that into a sangria because I was hanging out with people by the pool. I made it into a sangria because I just had so much of it. And the wine was phenomenal in the sangria. Everyone loved it. And I think like having that in the fridge and having it cold already was actually kind of a nice thing to have.
Yeah. What did you add to it? I'm such a sangria fan. Now I need your recipe.
I love sangria. I added peach schnapps and brandy. And then I got a whole bunch of peach and peaches and strawberries, was like a mixed bag of frozen fruit, threw it in there, and then like sugar and water. And it was, I let it sit overnight. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. That sounds delicious. I'm coming over. I'm having some of your
sangria. Oh, yeah. That's my specialty. That's sangria.
Well, and you can now make it in a single serve if you want to when you have the box open.
Absolutely. Totally. I keep saying absolutely in yourself, though.
It's fine. I think we're excited about this.
I really am excited about it. And I think it's a phenomenon, if you will, because it really changes the way that you do things. For me, if I have a bottle, especially white, and I just like leave it in the fridge after a week, I'm like, oh crap, I forgot that this was in there. I'm throwing it away. This is something that lasts for long enough that you will keep going back to it when you want a bottle or a glass of white. A bottle.
Well, you could have a bottle. So it's good to note too, and this is something fun that I've done with boxes in the past. So have you ever had people over for dinner? You open a bottle or two of wine, you kind of put them in the middle of the table and let people grab for themselves. Mm-hmm. Same thing is possible if you have a box. So if you had a box of white and a box of red, you could either say just, you know, get up and go to the box and get more whenever you want. Or what I've done in the past too, to kind of class things up a bit, you can take some red wine, put it straight into a decanter, put it on the table directly from the box. And if you, like me, sometimes keep empty wine bottles to kind of use as water bottles on the table, that restaurant look, you know, they do in New York, like every time you go, they're like, you're like, oh gosh, that's so smart. So I've done that before where I've taken boxed wine that's cold in the fridge in its little bladder. It doesn't really fit on a table. So I'll just fill up an empty wine bottle and put that right on the table. I'm not trying to fool anyone. I'll tell them, this is boxed wine. But it also makes it a little bit easier to transport the amount that you want at a given time. And especially if you have a water bottle, like a resealable water bottle that's airtight, you can easily fill that up with boxed wine on your way out the door to a picnic, and then there you go. You have what you need.
I was wondering where you were going with that. I'm like, where are we going with a water bottle full of wine?
Not to the gym. We're not going to the gym, but you could bring it to the beach or a picnic or on a boat or anywhere that you would otherwise want wine, but not want to bring a whole bottle. You can also do the same thing with cans. You can bring cans too.
Mm-hmm. The cans at the beach. Ooh, so good.
It's perfect because they fit perfectly in a cooler. Mm-hmm. But the other thing to note is that boxes vary in size. The one that we tried from Bridge Lane has the equivalent of 4 bottles in it.
Oh, I was going to say that what's nice about the box too, especially if you're having people over, it's like, this is a party box.
It's a party box.
If you have like people who drink White Claw, people who drink beer, and then people who drink wine, perfect. This is what you put out. You don't have to go through several bottles. You don't have to deal with all the glass in the recycling bin. It's one box, and it will last for a good amount of time, which is very convenient.
Yeah, I agree. I think too, there are some companies that are really classing up the box game. There are companies that either their boxes are made of wood, or there are companies that actually kind of make stands for your boxed wine. So it makes it look a little bit classier. And not to say that boxed wine doesn't look classy, but it definitely has this negative connotation of being cheap or to recall our simultaneous but separate college days a little bit lesser in quality. But that's not true anymore. I mean, boxed wine, as we've learned in this experiment, is exactly the same sometimes to wine by the same company put in a bottle or a can or even a keg.
When we drank all three of them side by side, there was very, very little difference. I think maybe I tasted a little bit more effervescence in the can and the bottle than I did in the bag. But to me, that was so, like, minuscule that it wasn't enough to, like, change the flavor profile or anything like that. So I really enjoyed having the side-by-side just to prove that they are all good in their own right and they all taste almost identical.
Yeah, I think had I not done that experiment, I would have assumed that there was a perceivable difference. Mm-hmm. And I didn't perceive any difference except for the fact that the refrigerator is really cold here. And so the can came up to room temperature slower than the glass that I had poured from the bottle, but more quickly than the bag that was sitting in the box. So because I think there was just more cold liquid in the box, that stayed colder longer. And even when I went to refill it, because I think we started with the box, actually. No, we started with the can, but we moved quickly on to the box because the box takes a second to open. You got to kind of like prepare it the first time. And it stayed really cold the whole time it was sitting out on the counter for the whole episode. It stayed really cold. Another win category or in the box column, if you're trying to host a bunch of people, stays colder for longer, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think the party box goes strong on this one. You put it out and people can have cold white wine for a good amount of time. But now I feel like we've talked about the controversial wine mediums, the can and the box, but let's talk about the bottle, because I do think that I don't want to bash the bottle too hard, because we all know we're wine bottle lovers at heart. So I do want to chat about how great the bottle is as well.
Yeah, bottles are great. I mean, think about it. Historically, wine has been put in bottles. We've even gotten very, very attuned to bottle shape around the world, even though historically Hungarian bottles and French bottles and Italian bottles in different places were very different shapes. We've now kind of homogenized bottle shape to some extent, so that bottles fit adequately in general.
So they can all fit in my wine rack, right? Yeah.
That's really why. That's really why. Because if you think about it, if you have an odd shaped bottle, sometimes people are less likely to purchase it because it won't fit in their wine fridge or won't fit on their wine rack. So bottles are pretty equivalent in size for the most part. They're 750 milliliters, and occasionally you'll see one that is 1 liter. You know, that's about 33% more than your standard bottle of wine. But bottles are not necessarily all they're cracked up to be, which the first reason is because they can crack and they can break. Unlike boxes, unlike cans, obviously anything could be punctured. But if you've dropped a bottle of wine and you've then had to spend 30 minutes trying to mop it all up and get all the glass and make sure.
And crying about all the wine on the floor.
Right. I'm not going to cry over spilt milk, but I will cry over spilt wine 100% of the time. And I think that's one thing to be aware of. The bottle that we tried from Bridge Lane, same exact wine as the can as the box, but it was sealed with a screw cap, which many people look at. Yeah, many people look at screw caps or twist tops and say exactly what they say about cans and exactly what they say about boxes. That must be cheap. That must be bad wine.
Bad quality. It's not true at all. It's just more convenient when you don't have a corkscrew.
100%. I once brought a bottle of wine to go watch Shakespeare in the Park, and I didn't have a corkscrew, and it was the worst. I'm asking people. I eventually went to a restaurant, asked if I could borrow one, went into the bathroom, opened the bottle of wine, stuck it back in my bag, gave him back the corkscrew, and then walked out.
Inconvenient.
So inconvenient. Mm-hmm. Worth it, but inconvenient.
Sure. Wine is always worth it, no matter the
how inconvenient.
Yeah, exactly.
But the problem with bottled wine when it's sealed with a cork is that about 2%, 2 to 3% is what we call corked. There's a flaw in the cork. It allows bacteria in. It spoils the wine. That doesn't happen with twist tops or screw caps. It doesn't happen with cans. It doesn't happen with boxes. So even though our tried and trues are often bottles, they're actually less ideal because there's so much more that can happen to them. They're so much worse for the environment. And if they're sealed with a cork, they can go bad, and or they are very difficult to open if you don't have the right tools.
Yeah. And I've had a corked wine, and it's not the most fun thing to consume.
And it will never
very disappointing.
You. Yeah, it'll never hurt you. It's just, it doesn't really smell like anything, and it doesn't really taste like anything.
And when you're looking forward to a certain wine, like, I think I told you I had a bottle of corked Veuve Clicquot, and it was sad. So sad. When you're wanting to celebrate, and the celebration gets abruptly ended by crappy champagne, it's very disappointing.
Yeah, I feel so bad that you had that experience. That sounds so anticlimactic.
It's just a good lesson that you have to keep it on the side, but that's neither here nor there, because I think that
just bring a can in your purse at all times in case
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, a can of Veuve Clicquot. I'm going to start writing letters to France.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Excuse me, Madame Clicquot.
Dear France, please start putting your wine in France. Sincerely, okay. Michelle.
I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, I will expect a can of Veuve in my next birthday gift. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying to make that happen. Yep.
Okay, great.
All this to say, I don't want to badmouth bottles, and I think like what the most important thing also is that we are talking about the environmentally friendliness of the cans and the boxes. I think is just make sure that you're recycling your bottles and you're not just like throwing them in the garbage. Not only is that very unsafe for your garbage man, but it's not good for the environment either. So I think that's something to be mindful of. Make sure that you are recycling that or reusing the bottles. Like Brielle said, put them on the dinner table. Like clean off. It really does look nice if you really clean off a bottle of like a white wine bottle. Beautiful for flowers, for water.
You can even cut the glass. You can get these things on Amazon where you cut the glass and you turn it into a candle. You cut the glass off and then you can make your own candles using the bottom of a bottle, which is very cool. It looks like it would be faster. I bought the thing. It takes so much time.
Yeah.
So much time. So
patience is fleeting with me. So I don't know if I have that.
At your own risk, friends.
It's also dangerous. I'll buy the candle. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So here's my conclusion on the difference between cans, bottles, and boxes. Kegs TBD, because you and I have to try some keg wine soon. But I don't think there's much of a difference so long as the winery or the winemaker doesn't want there to be. We tried three wines side by side, packaged at the same time, sent to market at the same time, made in exactly the same way. Imagine one big vat of wine just being divided in three. Yeah. And I would buy any of them again.
Right. It depends on what you're using it for. Like, I think that there's uses for all three, and I think as long as you know that the wine is going to be consistent no matter what, then it doesn't matter what the medium is.
Agreed.
I really enjoy those cans, though. Just saying.
Oh, so good. I know. They're so portable. They're so easy. Yeah. And so we've now tried two of the six wines in the Bridge Lane lineup. So we actually have the remaining four to do on episodes of Canned Wine Wednesday, because primarily we got them as cans. Because they're the only cans I've ever had from New York, I think. They're from the North Fork of Long Island.
Mm-hmm. They're the only ones I've had from New York as well, and they definitely don't disappoint. I think by the time that this episode comes out, hopefully we will have already had another canned wine from Bridge Lane together. We are a little bit behind on the getting them out, but I think no matter what, I think we're going to enjoy it. Because I've had a couple more than Brielle has. We've already, together, we've had the Bubbles and we've had the White Merlot. I've also had, like, the Sauvignon Blanc is fantastic. The Rosé is really good. So I'm looking forward to sipping them with you.
Me too. And you and I are going to get on a girls' trip to the North Fork.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
We're going to visit in person and we're going to try all four side by side by side by side.
Maybe we'll podcast from the winery. TBD.
Oh my gosh, a special feature coming to you live. Michelle and I have now tried all six wines in all four vessels and we are not allowed
within the hour.
Yeah. Don't try this at home, kids.
Mm-mm, definitely not. Moral of the story is that it doesn't matter which vessel that you drink your wine in. Don't let us persuade you either way. I think if you like your bottle of wine or your can of wine or your box of wine, enjoy it. Because like Brielle says, wine's only good if you like it.
Yeah, wine is only good if you like it. No matter the vessel, just do it safely.
Yeah, totally.
Thanks for another great episode, Michelle. I think we have answered that question pretty adequately.
I think so, too. I think no matter the vessel, wine is wine. And it's always
tasty. Wine is wine. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, cheers, my friend.
Cheers.
See you next time.
Hey, if you're a wino and want to learn more about wine, check out Brielle's business, Viva Livino, and sign up for a wine class.
And make sure to follow along on Instagram at The Wine Pro and The Wino for lots of fun wine content and subscribe to us here. If you get a chance, we'd love you to give us a 5-star review. We hear it helps. New episodes drop every Monday, so we hope you'll tune in.
Thank you so much for listening, and we can't wait to sip with you next time.
Cheers!